Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Mary immediately got up and hurried to the hill country in the province of Judah, where her cousins Zacharias and Elizabeth lived. When Mary entered their home and greeted Elizabeth, who felt her baby leap in her womb, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
You are blessed, Mary, blessed among all women, and the child you bear is blessed. Blessed am I as well, that the mother of my Lord has come to me. As soon as I heard your voice greet me, my baby leaped for joy within me. How fortunate you are, Mary, for you believed that what the Lord told you would be fulfilled.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, we give you deep and heartfelt thanks for these women of old, Mary and Elizabeth. Our mothers in the faith, thank you for their open hearts, for their receptivity, and above all, we give thanks that a young woman was open to the thunderous event of righteousness and peace kissing one another within her own body, so that she might receive him in whom your triune fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is always pleased to dwell. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday we talked a bit about simplicity. Today we talk a little bit about receptivity. The second one of these life lessons going on in the life of Mary, and also in the story in the life of Elizabeth, her near relative. The second of these five, we'll call them feminine virtues, but as we said, they're virtues that we of the more masculine persuasion need as well. Because, brothers, we are being prepared to spend eternity as members of a feminine personage, the very bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a lot to learn from these who have gone before us. What came to my mind as I thought about receptivity is Jeremiah's proclamation, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young and old together." The young Virgin Mary, the by then elderly barren Elizabeth, the older, the young and the old, joined in a dance. The moment after Mary heard the news of what was happening to her, and what had already been going on in Elizabeth for a number of months. I don't even think she packed her things. She got up and made a dash. And there had to have been joy in that reunion. Of course, these people loved each other. They were near kinspeople. They loved each other, their family. There's always joy in family gatherings. Sometimes there are other things too. There's always joy to be had in family gatherings. There was joy in this family gathering like it never happened before. In Carla's chapter in Song of Ascents on receptivity, she talks a lot about both dust and the garden. She talks a lot about soil. And I really wish that I could give you more than just snapshots, but in a handful of minutes, all I can do is give you a couple of snapshots. But God is always looking to sow his seed wherever there is receptivity. Sometimes, as in imaged in Elizabeth, a barren, older person. Perhaps the soil of her soul was more like dust. It was dry. Her years of fertility had passed. She was barren, hopeless. But seed was planted in that dust, in that union, in that marriage. And John the Baptizer was on his way. Out of the dust, the dusty, dry soil of Elizabeth's body, Mary the younger, a virgin, perhaps is more like, her body is more like a verdant garden, ready to spring forth, to give life, bear life. But you know, there are different kinds of gardens. And in this chapter, there are three that are mentioned. Everything begins in a garden, in Eden. And I hope some of you are enjoying an Eden in your life now, an Eden chapter. God gives those. And he wants to plant seeds even when we're in an Edenic time, a happy time, a joyous time. There's another garden in the story of salvation, Gethsemane, where all kinds of prayers got prayed, but the most important one was Jesus' soul struggle. Father, please, please let this cup pass from me. Please, however, not my will, but yours be done. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And there's a third garden that's important to remember, the garden tomb, where it looked like all hope was lost. The ones who knew him best and who'd heard him promise and declare that he would rise again were all downcast. All hope was lost. But out of that garden tomb, life, of course, sprang forth. He meets us in our dust, and he meets us in our gardens, whatever kind of garden you're in. Some of us are here this morning, and all we can see is the dry dust of our lives, the dry dust in our family relationships, the dry dust in things gone wrong in our family or in our job, in some situation, some friendship, some disastrous occurrence that's happened to us. Or we just feel forsaken because nothing has happened that we can be excited about for years and our life is dry dust. Some of us are in a place of garden in our lives, but it could be one of many different kinds of gardens. It could be an Eden. It could be a painful Gethsemane that's filled with dread, horror. And it could be a garden tomb that you find yourself in this morning, where it feels like everything has died. But whatever kind of soil your life is today, God is still a sower coming forth, sowing seed. And all he asks you to do is to be open to receive. Be open to receive. Now, sometimes if the soil has gotten really old and dry, it has to be broken up. Break up the fallow ground, the prophet tells us. You can break up the fallow ground just by some repentance, some praising, some prayer. Sometimes a little fasting helps. If you've got a struggle, go to somebody else, ask them to pray with you. Open up. Break up that hard ground. Open up your soul, whatever the soil of it is like today, and invite the sower to plant his seed. Be like Elizabeth applauded in Mary. Blessed are you because you believed what the messenger told you. This news is not just good, it's true. And he is coming to sow seed. Let us be receptive and let him do his work.